I'm just going to lead us out in a quick prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for allowing us to all see another day, Father. And thank you for your son that you've blessed us with. And thank you, Jesus, for laying your life down that we may have life and life in abundance and to be able to come home to you and to be with you and your Father one day. I pray that you continue to bless this service, Father, and I pray that you give us your word today, Father, and what you want your people as well as me to hear. And one word from you is better than 10,000 words from me, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'm going to do today, I felt upon me the other day when I knew it was my time to speak, to share a little bit of my testimony and a little bit about hope. So two things that I want to share concerning my testimony is my relationship with the woman when I first got saved. And the other part as well I will tie in is my job situation as far as my journey with God. So I'll start off in 2008, got incarcerated. I gave myself to God, and within a month or so later, I got indicted by the federal government. So it wasn't too much longer after I gave myself to God. And I remember when I got indicted and went to jail, I was like, man, I thought like everything was about to be really good for me. You know, I was ready to change my life around and become a man. But God had different plans for me. And so I had my children's mother. I had two children with her. And during my time of incarceration, because before I got incarcerated, we had a home and two kids and stuff like that. So when I got incarcerated, she already knew that I gave myself to God like a month prior. And about my third month of incarceration, you know, I'm heavy into the Word of God. He's working on my heart, transforming me. And she was like, so you'll basically never lie to me again. And she kind of just wanted to see where I'm at. She's like, you're really changing a lot. You're sounding really different. And I told her, you know, that I felt, you know, how could I build my life anymore on something I just destroyed? So I wouldn't lie to you. And she took advantage of that. I think there was some stuff that was unsettled within her heart with women. And it's understandable. So she asked me those things. And at that time, I was facing 10 years. And you're limited on phone call if you've been to the county, anybody. But that time ended at nighttime, so it beeped. And I said, I have to go, you know, and I'll talk to you and finish talking to you about this tomorrow. So I got counsel that night. It was worldly counsel. Into the next morning, and people were like, look, you're with a great Hispanic woman. She loves you. One small lie about this one girl that was really close to her, like a family member, and you go home and you fix everything. Don't do nothing stupid, Jose, and tell her the truth. But within my heart, I felt like, how could I lie, you know? And, you know, it's strange, I feel like, not strange, but like how God talks to me is sometimes I feel like it's never audible. I feel like it's like me counseling within myself, because within myself, like me coaching myself or God talking to me, he was like saying like everything's going to be all right. You know, there's a time and place for everything. There's a time to tear down and a time to build. And that could be with any of us in any of our lives. You know, we never know the seasons that God has for us. But at that moment in my life, it was a time to tear down. But God was definitely refreshing me with the latter part of that. He said, there's going to be a time for me to build you as well. So there's still hope. And he also reminded me, I felt like the Spirit was reminding me at that moment, that he was like, it's going to look like it's all over for you, you know. And this is me talking about relationship, but it could be with any man or woman going through anything here, you know, with any kind of disease, health, or jobs, you know. And he said, it looks like it's all over. You know, all the signs are showing that it's over, like Jesus, you know, and all his disciples and everybody looked at him like, look, you're supposed to be our king. You know, you came to do all this and that, you know. And now look at you, you know, it looks like it's over. But God said, this is something that must happen, you know, that he may be raised again and built back up. And that's the situation I was going through. So that really brought confidence within me and hope and faith, knowing that, you know, there's going to be something better. So that gave me the strength to go ahead and tell the truth. And I remember at that time she told me, you know, that she felt like she was with the monster for 6 years and that I broke her soul or crushed her soul. And it was over after that. I lost my children's mother, my family, my kids, everything for the next 5 years of my incarceration. But I still continue to believe in God that, you know, that God will always make a way, you know. In times, you know, we never know. His ways are not our ways, you know. So that's something that we definitely got to know. But we definitely got to remember that he's always there and with us no matter what. And he has good plans for us of a future and a hope, you know. He don't have plans to harm us, you know, through loss of loved ones or relationships or jobs or health. He definitely has a plan. And he continued to work on me over the years. And I'm going to get back with that part of the relationship, but I want to transform over to the job part. And so I was working inside a prison at the chapel. You know, I was very blessed. I was into the word. I started working at the chapel and got to be in the front of a library, you know, and I read tons of testimonies and books of, I had the privilege to meet a lot of different faiths and know of their faith as well. They challenged me a lot. Muslims, Messianic Jews, Jews, Wicca, this Nation of Islam, Morse Science Temple, everything. You know, they all had their days for me to give them their Bibles and stuff. But it was definitely a blessing, and I got really comfortable and used to my environment, my comfort zone. And there was a time in my incarceration where I started getting really frustrated. Because I was only making, I think they paid me $10, like 25 cents a month. So it wasn't too much at all. My mom didn't have a lot of money, so she could barely give me money for extra food, you know, commissary. And so I would eat ramen noodles and tunas for like dinner for like 3 years. I was eating the same thing. It was basically what all I could afford, and crackers and peanut butter I had like at nighttime before I go to bed. But I would see all these other young men from New York and different people, and they would have all these like pizza parties on the weekend, and I started building like an anger in me, because I used to have a lot of nice stuff before I went incarcerated, because I was doing illegal activities, so I had a lot of money. And I remember telling myself, like, man, I should just start like hustling, you know, selling stuff, just anything that I could get what they want. So my heart was like not good, and I'm still a Christian man at that time. But the ways of the world were starting to get to me after years of this. And I remember getting really frustrated, you know, within myself. Like, how am I living like this still when there's an opportunity for me to cheat in such a way or live in sin? But God was faithful and he opened up a opportunity for me. And this man came up to me during that week that I was going through and struggling. And he said, you know, he was like, there's somebody leaving a food service warehouse department. Now, there's 6 men that work at the warehouse department out of 1,500 people, men. Only 6 available to work there. He said, there's an opportunity for you. The man's going home. And that opportunity, I'm presenting it to you. I believe you're a good man. And I was very thankful for the opportunity. But in my mind, I was like, man, I was fine within myself because I was content where I was at. I was working at the chapel, and I would have to change my whole job, occupation, meet new people, new inmates, all that. So I was hesitant, but I know that God didn't want me to make a decision in fear, you know, and I was being fearful. So I definitely went for it, and I really felt like I felt like God just be with me, you know, in front of these new inmates and this new job and different men that I don't know, you know, just come for me and be with me. And that I took the shot, you know. And I feel like with God, a lot of times he wants us to, you know, ask for things and then seek for things that we may find them. And then that door will be open for you. And that door opened for me. And I was very fortunate because I felt like I went from literally like rags to riches, because in prison, food is like a big item as far as money, you know, it, food is big. And when I went to the food service warehouse department, I was overwhelmed with the food that the head CEO and the everybody provided us with. I mean, I went from I got to eat chicken, turkey, all the meats I wanted, everything in abundance, all the fruits and vegetables. I was eating 7 fruits and vegetables a day. I was healthy and felt like I was lacking in vitamins. Like God definitely granted me that desire, and I took full authority, I mean, full advantage of it. But I'm just showing you that what God could do, you know, when things seem hopeless at times, with in a moment's eye, God could change everything. And I was mad and I was frustrated. And I was dealing with this job for 3 years, and God all of a sudden opened a door that changed everything, my whole last year or two in there. And it was definitely one of the best blessings I could ever ask for. I was very thankful. But I know that if he could do that for me, he could do that for anybody. He did that for me inside of prison walls. He definitely is well able to do that for any man here or woman outside of those prison walls. But I want to go back to the relationship part. So I come home, and I still thought God would open those doors for my children's mother for me. God brought me through a lot concerning that relationship, because she still talked to me as a friend during my incarceration. She talked to me as a friend, so that was very supportive of her. But she moved on, and she ended up having another child and getting another relationship. And I remember getting so sick, but God was with me through the whole time. He brought me that much closer to Him, because at times I would weep, you know, like just very sick, because I'm like, I don't understand, you know, like I'm living for you. I thought, you know, you'd bring my family back, you know, that I thought that's what you wanted. But like I said, his ways are not our ways. And, you know, he definitely taught me. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you when you're weak, my son. You know, I'll keep you strong. Just keep leaning on me and believing on me." So that happened when I was incarcerated. But I came home and I felt I still had this like expectation of something that I wanted. And I don't believe, like, a lot of times we want things, but God doesn't want that for us. And that's something that I wanted, and it wasn't happening. Anyways, that was in 2012 when I came home, and I realized, like, you know, this woman is not, well, not the same. I ended up dating another woman, and we were dating for a while. And that we were just of two different walks, you know. God says, "How can two walk together unless they agree?" And I was hoping for change with that woman, but it never took place, you know. And I waited and waited and waited, and then there was a time where God gave me courage, you know. We kept departing from each other in this relationship. At least 4 times a year, you know, we're just not agreeing. We're definitely not agreeing. And I finally have the courage just to walk away for good. And I was listening to Steve Harvey, and he was telling me, you know, sometimes God got blessings for you, but you're not preparing yourself for it. You're still holding on to things. And Steve Harvey said he kept coming home, this comedian, and he said, "My mama give me a new car. You know, I got a job. I'm getting a new car. I'm getting a new car." And she said, "Yeah, but your old car's still in the driveway." And he said, "I don't understand. I kept coming home and saying, I got a great perspective and hopes. I'm getting a new car." And she was like, "Your old car's in the driveway." He's like, "Why do you keep saying that?" And not until he understood that he was blocking his blessing, he said, "Not until you get that old car out of the way. Take the bricks, all that junk you got in my parking lot, and clean it and prepare yourself for something." And then when he did that, he cleaned it all up, and he finally made that effort and move to remove the old car completely out of his way, and believing and having faith where God blessed him with a new car. And that was residing within me when I let go of that relationship. Like, you have to let go completely of something for God to actually give you what you want. Like, sometimes I feel like we're blocking our own blessings at times without knowing it, unconsciously. So when I did that, I started praying for a specific woman. You know, I loved her characteristics and stuff like that. So I would ask God, you know. My uncle at the same time was coaching me, telling me that he's like, "Jose, you need to ask God specifically what you want, you know. He's like, ask him. You know, I believe that he hears every man and woman that has faith. He said, ask him. Ask him what you want. Talk to him directly and ask him. Be sincere in what you want. And I started asking him, you know, of a woman that I have met and did business with. You know, I was like, can you send somebody just like her? You know, I think she's in a relationship or what, but I want, give me someone like that. You know, I would love a woman like that. And within months, he ended up lining me up with her and that specific woman. And we started talking, and God opened that door. You know, he said, ask. And I asked him for what I wanted, and he said, you shall receive. And then he said, seek, and you'll find. And I started seeking, and I ran into her. And then he says, knock, and the door will be open for you. So these are things that, like, steps he was telling me to do. So I knocked, you know, and I told her, you know, so I know we've been friends and business partners and what, you know, but have you ever considered or thought about us becoming more than friends? And she says, I'm glad you asked that, because I was thinking the same thing. So that was definitely a confirmation and a door that opened up for me and her. And that all, throughout the time, you know, like I say, you always got to just keep, you know, hope, you know, hope is the substance of things, you know, like hope for yet unseen, even though you can't see things, a new job or a new relationship. He definitely opened up that door for that relationship, and she ended up becoming my fiance, that girl. So I was very thankful for God that he opened that door. And I never thought I could, have this love again that I had, you know. I didn't know if I would ever find that, you know, because it's been so long. But definitely God is faithful, and, you know, I just want to encourage y'all with that, like, never give up, you know, on hope and in anything. So that was part of about my relationship, you know, what God was faithful for, you know. I kept believing, you know, but I never seen it for a long time. But it definitely came to pass. It took 12 years for me to get out of the relationship with my children's mother to find my fiance now. So, like I said, there's a time and purpose for everything, for anything, jobs, health, anything. It's never in our ways, in our time all the time. Sometimes it takes a long time. But one more thing, or another thing concerning that relationship that I would like to share is, let me get into the word a little bit. So I met that girl. God gave me the opportunity. I met her and all that, and things were going good. And I felt like, you know, God blessed me with her. And I felt like within myself, I was celebrating in the wrong way. I caught myself getting drunk off of wine. I drank wine on occasion. And I remember my uncle telling me, I was like, you're not celebrating the gift of God the right way. You know, God has blessed you, you know. And he's like, you're not celebrating it right. And he put a heavy conviction on me. But during that time, I know that woman felt like that as well. Like, you know, you're somebody like of a leader and have responsibilities, and you're trying to slip. So she actually sent me a message and through a voice message and saying that I think maybe I should walk away because I feel like I'm hindering your walk. And that really crushed my spirit, you know, and that really hurt me bad, you know. I thought God gave me this gift, and now it's going to be taken away, you know. I finally started to get this love, you know, and I know what it's like to lose somebody because I lost my other children's mother, and I was, like, devastated. But one thing I did, and I'm thankful that God, you know, of me being around church people and with the word, is I kept my faith during that time. So the first thing that I said, God, I said, you know, I came into this world with nothing, and it's certain I'll leave with nothing. Job, I believe, quoted that. I could quote that for y'all. And then within my mind, too, I said, you know, your will be done, Lord, and not my own. You know, you gave it to me, and it's certain you could take her away. So your will be done in this situation. And I felt like it was a test, and not long after that, she called me back. She said, I really apologize, you know, for what I said and all that. And I didn't understand why, you know, I felt like that, but I apologized. And within my heart and soul, I started believing. I was like, you know what? I feel like this doesn't have a lot to do with you. I felt like God just tested me. You know, this was the moment. I really, truly felt like I passed that, and he brought you back. because he don't want me to put nothing before him, no woman, nothing. And I believe he was testing me. And the scripture came to mind in Genesis 22. It said, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Now take your son, your only son, who you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I tell you." So I felt like even like God might test certain things in our lives, you know, to see actually where we're standing. And Abraham loved his son, and he knew he had a promise coming. So he probably didn't really understand, why are you going to take my only son, you know? But like he says here, God tested Abraham to see where he was at in life. And the only thing I feel like he could test us a lot is with our love and the people that we love, to really see where we stand, you know, who we're going to stand for. Is this, are you going to put your child or your job or your wife or anybody or church or anything before the Almighty God? And I feel like if he'll discipline those that he loves, and he'll test his children. And I feel like that's what he did with me. And I'm very thankful that, you know, that I told him that your will be done and not of my own, because not after long after that, like I said, I got the phone call back and she apologized. And she said she's very sorry and that, but I truly believe to this day it wasn't a lot on her doing. I feel like it was definitely meant to test me out. And it was really good for me that I was afflicted and tested that day, because it brought a lot of things into perspective to always keep him first and always remember the gifts in life, who they truly come from, you know, wife and children and all. And but up to now this day, you know, I was fortunate enough to ask her to be my wife, and she said yes and all that. So throughout the whole journey, you know, God is still able to provide and grant us the desires of our heart. You know, sometimes they take longer than others. You know, mine took 12 years for the love of my life to come into my life, but he definitely granted that to me. And concerning job, I'll finish it with the job part. So I was working up in that food service warehouse for 2 more years, I believe, before I came home. Before I came home, I was in a federal system, so that we had white-collar crime individuals, bankers, lawyers, cops, judges, stuff like that. So I had friends I'd play chess with, and a banker named Jim from Cleveland. He owned a couple banks, and a stockbroker named David. And they would say, "So Jose, let us talk to you. You know, we know you counsel us with faith and all that." He was like, "But, you know, there's hard times out there when you're going home." 2012, he's like, "There's college kids looking for jobs, and there's not a lot out there, you know, so we don't want you to get your hopes up too high, because, you know, we're just giving you facts." And I feel like that's what the enemy tries to do a lot with us. You know, "I'm just giving you facts. You have cancer, you have this and that." Well, that should never derail our faith. You know, we always got to cling on to the word of God for dear life. You know, that's like our only hope and lifeline. So I thank God again that I was able to ingrain with this word, because my first reaction wasn't that, you know, "You're right." You know what I mean? Like, "I'm a felon. You're right." You know, my first reaction was like, "Yeah, I understand that." And I said, "But what, man, things seem impossible." I was like, "Well, God, all things are possible. There's always a way for me, an opportunity for me to have a job." And that came to pass. And when I told them that, they were like, "Jose, you're crazy." You know, and I came home, and my counselor, he told me the same thing. He said, "There's 20 people waiting to get a job right now where you're at work release." I was like, "How can I get home to see my daughter? Her birthday's coming up. You know, I just got home. Her birthday's this Saturday. She turned 8 years old. How can I come home?" He was like, "You need a job for 3 days." And he was like, "But there's not many jobs out there. Like I said, there's 20 people trying to apply at Master Spot. Everybody's in line." And I was very fortunate. God opened up a door. I became a dishwasher at El Azteca, and I started like after my second day at work release. I got home for my daughter's birthday. She said it was her best birthday present ever. I haven't seen her in years, and that was definitely a blessing. But God is able to open up any door that no man may shut if we have faith. You know, we must keep believing and believing in his word that he's able to provide us with something. And from there on out, you know, I continue to got jobs, Master Spa, Fleetwood, and got my CDL license, and opened up a trucking company, and I was doing things that still men, when I was at Fleetwood, they're like, you're gonna open up, we heard everybody's talking, you're gonna open up your own trucking company, but you're a federal felon, you can't have your own company. And that's just another lie from the devil, you know, like I've been through that before with the stockbrokers and them saying I couldn't get a job or I couldn't do this or that. You know, Les Brown said people are just so negative in this world, you know, you'll hear seven no's before you get a yes. But you always just got to keep your faith in the yes God, you know, keep your faith in the word of God. And that's what I continue to do to this day, that, you know, anything's possible. You know, if one man's able to get a job or to do this or be healed from cancer or to get another wife and fall in love, and then I could do it. You know, God provided with my brothers and sisters throughout generations with things that looked impossible. And he still does it to this day. There's many testimonies, not just mine, but throughout the world, you know, that God comes through and provides. So I just wanted to share those two things with you guys of hope, you know, for like my love story and also my job career, that God was able to provide when it didn't look like there was nothing there. But I just keep leaning on the word of God. And that's the thing I want to impress on y'all today, you know, the word. And it says, walk by faith, not by sight. So not what you hear or see, but walk by faith. But try to really ingrain that scripture on your heart, because you're going to need it. You know, a lot of times the counselors are not here to call, or nobody's there. Sometimes the fight and the battle is going to be in 30 minutes from now if you get a phone call. You got to have this word on your heart. That's just my strongest thing that I can impress upon y'all, is to have this something, one scripture, you know. Walk by faith, not by sight. But with that, I'll close. Can we all stand as we pray tonight? And anybody want to lead us out in prayer tonight? Pam, would you do the honors?
Father God, we thank you for this word, and we thank you that you are our hope, and we thank you that you are the God that can take impossible situations, and you just open a door where we didn't even know there would be a door. So, Father, for everyone here, for every person here, Father, for the things that they're up against, I ask, Father, that they would be able to look to you, put their eyes on you, that they would know that their hope comes from you. I ask, Father God, that you would open up doors for them of prosperity, Amen, doors of good health, Father. Let them look different than the people around them, because their hope is in you and their belief is in you. So let them walk different, Father God. Let them not be affected by this virus. Let them not be affected by illnesses, Father God. Let them not be affected by despair or depression during this season. But because their hope is in you, Father God, we know that you will be faithful, that you will lift them up, that you will carry them, that you will deliver them, that you will be their provider in all things. So we thank you, God. We thank you for this word. We thank you that you're the one that we can always depend on, and that you never, ever get tired of just reaching for us and walking with us. We thank you, God, that you are the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. So I just ask, Father God, that everyone here who heard this word will be able to carry it in their hearts this week. And, Father, that they will be able to keep their eyes on you in every situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.